24/7 World Radio, Watch into Prayer. And we're back. And let's see here. February 16th, 2023. And I want to read a book. And it's called The History of Protestantism, and it's volume 2, turning, Secret Instructions of the Jesuits. We got the bottom of page 405. And this is book 15 on the Jesuits. And we're going to read now. The individual Jesuit takes a vow of poverty, but the society takes no such vow, and is qualified to hold property to any amount. Therefore, while seeking the salvation of souls, the members are carefully to note the rich men in the community. They must find out who own the estates in the neighborhood and what are their yearly values. They are to secure these estates by gift, if possible, if not by purchase. When it happens that they, quote, get anything that is considerable, let the purchase be made under a strange name by some of our friends, that our poverty may still seem the greater, end quote. That's the same thing as deceiving, right? Lying. A device that combines many advantages. Every day their acres will increase. Nevertheless, their apparent poverty will be as great as ever, and the flow of benefactions and legacies to supply it will remain undiminished. Although the sea into which all these rivers run will never be full. Among the multifarious duties laid upon the Jesuits, special prominence was given to the instruction of youth. It was by this arm that they achieved their most brilliant success. That's why they have all these universities. That's why they focus on, quote, learning. That's why they focus on, they have Jesuit, like prep schools, you know, like high school level. And, of course, they have Jesuit colleges in America, 28 of them. And all over the world, really, because it allows the professors to travel and see each other and be, you know, received in and stay on the cutting edge of advancement in terms of technology and political affairs and just stuff in the world. And it gives a very smooth cover for getting things done. And it also, you know, allows them to have a position at the negotiation table in terms of, like, regulators and people who set policy and influence thinking, you know, among, say, policy developers at the EPA, policy developers at the United States Department of Agriculture, or whatever, policy developers, you know, in media, in government relations, and really the thinkers, you know, in the think tanks, are going to be trained to think in ways that are in agreement with the direction that these men want to go. That's how they get things done. The accreditation boards, you know, this sort of thing. Among the multifarious duties laid upon the Jesuits, special prominence was given to the instruction of youth. It was by this arm that they achieved their most brilliant success. Whisper it sweetly in their, that is, the people's ears, that they are come to catechize the children gratis, that means free. Wherever the Jesuits came, they opened schools and gathered the youth around them. But despite their zeal in the work of education, knowledge somehow did not increase. Of course. The intellect refused to expand, and the genius to open under their tutelage. Kingdoms like Poland, where they became the privileged and only instructors of youth, instead of taking a higher place in the Commonwealth of Letters, fell back into mental decrepitude and lost their rank in the community of nations. The Jesuits communicate to their pupils little besides a knowledge of Latin. History, philosophy, and science were sealed books. They initiated their disciples into the mysteries of probabilism and the art of directing the intention. And the youth trained in these paths, when old, did not depart from them. Sounds like social justice garbage. In principle, I mean, you know, you don't teach things like of substance and stuff. You just teach things that are useful for being a good, useful idiot the rest of your life. Not knowing that you're controlled, you know, you walk around with sort of, oh, this has to be how we should deal with this. Why? Because your Jesuit masters told you so. Did you never think that maybe they're lying to you? They dwarfed the intellect and narrowed the understanding, but they gained their end. They stamped anew the Roman impress upon many of the countries of Europe. The second chapter of the instructions is entitled, quote, "What must be done to get the ear and intimacy of great men?" Ah. To stand well with monarchs and princes. Okay, so we talked about the instruction of the youth and the getting money from estates of rich men, property, and the instruction of the youth. Now we're going to talk about influencing, you know, powerful men. Not just getting the property of rich men, but influencing powerful men. Here we go. The second chapter of the instructions is entitled, quote, "What must be done to get the ear and intimacy of great men," unquote. To stand well with monarchs and princes is, of course, a matter of such importance that no stone is to be left unturned to attain it. Wow. No stone is to be left unturned to attain what? To stand well with monarchs and princes. Oh, sure, they've had a place at the tables of the kings for centuries. I mean, they've been the Roman Catholic kings, the confessors. They just get the kings to do what they want. They tell them, this is a duty from God to cut off heretics from the earth.
Okay.
The instructions here, as we should expect them to be. If you don't believe me, see King Philip II of Spain. Look it up. It's not hard to do. The instructions here, as we should expect them to be, are full and precise. Oh, and by the way, if your society enjoys some amount of literacy, you can thank a Bible believer. No problem. The members of the Society of Jesus are, first of all, to imbue princes and great men with the belief that they cannot dispense with their aid if they would maintain the pomp of their state. So you have to teach the princes and the great men to have the belief that the princes and great men would dare not get rid of the assistance of the Jesuits if the great men were to maintain the pomp of their country and the government of their realms. It all hinges on these Jesuits. You have to keep them in your midst. You know, they're the great thinkers. They help smooth things over. Should princes be filled with a conceit of their own wisdom, like JFK, the fathers must find some way of dispelling this egregious delusion. It's called assassination. They are to surround them with confessors chosen from their society. Yeah, look at Louis XIV. But by no means in France. But by no means are they to bear hard on the consciences of their royal penitents. You're right. They bear hard on the consciences of everyone. Wear this mask, boy. Get your jab. We're going to bear hard on your conscience. We're going to vex you. Well, to be fair to the Lord, perhaps America is in such a state of spiritual decrepitude that we deserve to be punished. That doesn't seem to cross a lot of conservatives' minds. Let's see here. They are to surround them. We already read that. They must treat them sweetly and pleasantly, oftener administering opiates than irritants. This is the Jesuits manipulating kings and stuff. They are to study their humors, and if, in the matter of marriage, they should be inclined, as often happens with princes, to contract alliance with their own kindred, they are to smooth their way by hinting at a dispensation from the Pope, or finding some palliative for the sin from the pharmacopoeia of their theology. They may tell them that such marriages, though forbidden to the commonalty, are sometimes allowed for princes, quote, for the greater glory of God. I think what he's getting at here, if these kings and powerful men engage in fornication with, you know, mistresses and whores and stuff. If a monarch is bent on some enterprise, a war, for example, the issue of which is doubtful, they are to be at pains so to shape their counsel in the matter that if the affair succeeds, they shall have all the praise. And if it misgives, the blame shall rest with the king alone. Oh yeah, you've seen that sort of thing. And lastly, when a vacancy occurs near the throne, they are to take care that the empty post shall be filled by one of the tried friends of the society. Well, like Kevin McCarthy, and the way that these various posts of power are filled. Speaker of the House, President of the United States, sure, you know, the chief senators, and so on. Most of the senators, really. A bunch of ambassadors, a bunch of staff all throughout the executive branch, legislative branch, judicial branch, you know, all friends of the society. How could all these people all have some Jesuit connection? I mean, it's unbelievable. So they really have their work cut out for them with a system like ours. When you just have one king that's in charge, it's way easier. That's why the, you know, Spanish Empire was so much easier to control. All you had to do was control one Roman Catholic dictating king. Done. Now you got to manage all these elections. Well, you got electronic voting, so that makes it so much easier. You got to keep all these governors in check. You got to keep tabs on all, you know, who's going to be in charge of representing these people and how we're going to work the narrative and have it be a real close race. Yeah. And work that in there, you know. Look how divided and so on. And lastly, when a vacancy occurs near the throne, they are to take care that the empty post shall be filled by one of the tried friends of the society, of whom they are enjoined to have at all times a list in their possession. These are men with a plan. They are to have at all times a list in their possession of candidates. It may be well, in order still more to advance their interests at courts, to undertake embassies at times. That's why you have so many ambassadors that are connected with the Jesuit School of Foreign Service. Yeah, you got that? Look it up. This will enable them to draw the affairs of Europe into their own hands, and to make princes feel that they are indispensable to them by showing them what an influence they wield at the courts of other sovereigns, and especially how great their power is at that of Rome. So in other words, you're the king of England, you're the king of whatever, and you say, wow, these Jesuits are really able to get some stuff done over in those countries, you know. I wonder if they could help me with this. Oh, yeah. Small services and trifling presents, they are by no means to overlook. Such things go a great way in opening the hearts of princes. So they're going to bring trifling presents and nonsense, you know, to these princes. So I think when I see the princes or the kings go and visit with the so-called pope, they always bring some stupid gift, you know. And the so-called pope gives them, you know, this or that stupid gift. They give each other gifts and stuff. Such things go a great way in opening the hearts of princes. Be sure, say the instructions, to paint the men whom the prince dislikes in the same colors in which his jealousy and hatred teach him to view them. Well, you've seen this with the way that Biden's demonized conservatives as being, what did he call us during that raging speech with that red backdrop? I believe he said that we were vile excrement. He didn't come out and say that. He said something more along the lines of, I'll think of it. Dangerous extremists, I think. There's nothing new under the sun. This has been going on for hundreds of years. It's just in modern clothes now. 24/7 World Radio, watching the Pearl.
This is 24/7 World Radio, home of Eric John Phelps and Vatican Assassins.
This is Brother Jack. I invite you to listen to my broadcast on 247worldradio.com. I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Polish-speaking people scattered around the whole world. Furthermore, I defend the Reformation in Poland, Polish Protestants and Baptists, and Polish Reformation Bible. I also expose the Counter-Reformation in my homeland, led by the Jesuits and by the Roman Catholic Institution. Join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 247worldradio.com. Tu brat Jacek, zapraszam Was do wysłuchania mojej audycji na 247worldradio.com. Głoszę Ewangelię Pana Jezusa Chrystusa ludziom mówiącym po polsku rozproszonym po całym świecie. Ponadto bronię reformacji w Polsce, polskich protestantów i baptystów oraz polskiej Biblii reformacyjnej. Demaskuję również kontrreformację w mojej ojczyźnie kierowaną przez jezuitów i przez rzymskokatolicką instytucję. Dołącz do mnie w każdy czwartek o godzinie 17 czasu wschodnioamerykańskiego na 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Nicholas. Join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the German Bible Truth Hour, and at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dutch Bible Truth Hour on 24/7 World Radio. This is Bruder Nicholas. Ich lade euch herzlich ein, mich anzuhören jeder Dienstag um 2 Uhr nachmittags, amerikanische Zeit, für die deutsche Bibelwahrheitsstunde und 3 Uhr amerikanische Standardzeit für die niederländische Bibelwahrheitsstunde am World Radio 24/7. Dit is Bruder Nico. U bent hartelijk uitgenodigd om elke dinsdag om 2 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Duitse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen en 3 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Nederlandse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen op 24/7 World Radio.
This is Eric John Phelps. Please listen to my broadcast, The Eric John Phelps Show, as I preach the true gospel of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, defend the Protestant Reformation that birthed Western civilization, and expose the counter-reformation of the Jesuit order seeking to make the Pope of Rome the universal monarch of the world. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 247worldradio.com.
You're listening to 24/7 World Radio.
World Radio. Watch Unto Prayer, and we're back. Thank you for tuning in. And let's continue reading in the book History of Protestantism, Volume 2, Book 15 on the Jesuits. So they're supposed to keep a nice, a list with them of names, you know, of people to fill vacancies as one ruler dies or as someone near him dies. They always are diligent to keep control. These men have demons inside of them. And they're particular devils that are obsessed with control. You might meet people like this in life. Not entirely common, but it does happen. There's people that are just very much like control, like they have real control issues. They need to be like master of decisions that are not really theirs to decide, and they have they try to get their claws like into everybody around them. Very controlling. Well, that's part of what afflicts these men. I mean, think about Satan and his biography. I shall ascend to the hills of the north. I shall be like the Most High. Because he wants to be in control. Okay. It may be well, in order still more to advance their interests at courts, to undertake embassies at times. This will enable them to draw the affairs of Europe into their own hands. Oh, wait, I already read that. Oh, yeah, give them gifts, you know, give these princes gifts. That's nice. Be sure, say the instructions, to paint the men whom the prince dislikes in the same colors in which his jealousy and hatred teach him to view them. Sounds like what Edward Bernays ended up coming up with. Propaganda. So if the king wants to hate a certain group of people, then the Jesuits help to bring that to pass. Like, say, conservatives or Bible believers or anybody really generally who goes along with, like, the way things used to be. In particular, if the way things used to be lines up with the way that God wants things to be, oh, there's a target. A lot of times, the way things used to be is actually not pleasing to God at all. You know, you think about the way that India used to be with their false gods and their polytheism. Oh, that's the way it still is. That's not pleasing to the Lord. And so conservatism, you know, think about the conservative Muslim countries that don't want to change. Well, they should change. Think about the Reformation. That was change. So it's not necessarily the change that's the bad thing. It's what happens when you start trying to change things to no longer be in line with the scriptures and with what you would call biblical normalcy and common right from wrong and so on. So there's that. So once you got it right, like with the Constitution of the United States and with the King James Bible, we don't need to go ahead and mess around and change everything and throw it in the trash just for the sake of having something to do, which seems to be where we are now. Moreover, if the prince is unmarried, it will be a rare stroke of policy to choose a wife for him from among the beautiful and noble ladies known to their society. This is seen, says the instructions, quote, by experience in the House of Austria and in the kingdoms of Poland and France and in many other principalities, end quote. You can find that written in Secreta Monita, Chapter 2, Section 5. Quote, we must endeavor, say the instructions, with remarkable plainness, but in the belief, doubtless, that the words would meet the faithful eyes of the members of the Society of Jesus only. Listen to what they thought they would keep secret. We must endeavor to breed dissension among great men. So the Jesuits thought that they would keep this to themselves. They didn't think that this news would get out. Listen to how plain this is. We must endeavor to breed dissension among great men. Have you noticed dissension? Like, in every possible way. And raise seditions. They're talking about raising seditions. Sounds like conspiracy to me. That's why they've been kicked out of dozens of nations. Raising sedition. You might read about it, like with Japan or various other countries where they kick the Jesuits out. You'll gloss over it. You know you're reading from some Roman Catholic, some pro-Jesuit author, when they say things like, and then there was Christian persecution. Well, wait. Is the king of China or the king of some other place or the king of Japan or the emperor of Japan, are they just figuring out that the Jesuits are trying to overthrow their government and they're kicking out the conspirators, the agents, much like international CIA agents trying to do the same thing in South Central America? Are they just figuring out who the real bad guy is, or is there actual Christian anti-Christian persecution? And so on. So watch for that. Because what they're trying to do is raise seditions, or anything a prince would have us to do to please him. If one who is chief minister of state to a monarch, who is our friend, oppose us, and that prince cast his whole favors upon him, so as to add titles to his honor, we must present ourselves before him and court him in the highest degree, as well by visits as all humble respect. So, if the monarch is their friend, but the minister of state opposed them, they would still, you know, pretend to be just glowing. They would always suck up to the monarch, even if a minister of state opposed the Jesuit order, and they would agree with the monarch and keep a wary eye on those who would oppose them. But they wouldn't be honest and come out with it and say anything that would, you know, unmask themselves. Having specified the arts by which princes may be managed, see, to the Jesuits, princes are just men who may be managed. Managed. The instructions next prescribe certain methods for turning to account others, quote, of great authority in the Commonwealth, that by their credit we obtain profit and preferment. Okay, so now we're going to move on from the princes to other powerful, wealthy men. Quote, if, say the instructions, this is the secret instructions that the Jesuits were commenting on here. If these lords be seculars, we ought to have recourse to their aid and friendship against our adversaries, and to their favor in our own suits, and those of our friends, and to their authority and power in the purchase of houses, manors, and gardens, and as stones to build with, especially in those places that will not endure to hear of our settling in them, because the authority of these lords serveth much, very much, for the appeasing of the populace, and making our ill-willers quiet. Let me read that again. If these lords be seculars, we ought to have recourse to their aid and friendship against our adversaries. So they're always going to try to get a foot in the door, no matter what the person believes, or what the great, wealthy, powerful person believes. They're always going to try to get some foot in the door. Not for the preaching the gospel, not to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No. But for the own benefit of their own enterprise. And to their favor in our own suits, and those of our friends, and to their authority and power in the purchase of houses, manors, and gardens, and of stones to build with, especially in those places that will not endure to hear of our settling in them, because the authority of these lords serveth very much for the appeasing of the populace, because the authority of these men appeases the populace, and makes our ill-willers quiet. So the people might not like the Jesuits, but the lords, you know, they had landlords. The lords of the lands can make the people quiet down. So it's to the Jesuits' benefit to be on the good side of the rich and powerful men that can control the people. Even if the people don't like the Jesuits can get the rich, powerful lords to kind of quiet down and calm down the people. This is what the senators do. The senators are supposed to be sort of like the House of Lords in England. The senators are supposed to be the wise ones and the stable, level-headed ones, whereas the House of the People was anticipated as being more rambunctious and fiery. The Senate was supposed to be more deliberative and represent property and represent the states. The United States Senate was supposed to be more six-year term, you know, more grave, somber, fewer of them for deliberation. And so these are sort of like the landlords during the time period that the instructions were written back in the 1600s. The influential men, you know. The people might not like the Jesuits, but they can get the influential men to quiet down the people. Nor are they less sedulously to make court to the bishops. Their authority, great everywhere, is especially so in some kingdoms, as in Germany, Poland, and France. All right, so even though these lords might be secular, now we turn to what happens when the powerful men are the bishops or some Roman Catholic hierarchy. The Jesuits just use the Roman Catholic hierarchy. I hope you understand that. They're not, like, properly Roman Catholic themselves. The Jesuits are their own thing. I hope that makes sense. Sedulously means busy, active, laboriously, energetically, steadily. So I'll read it again. Nor are they less sedulously, that means less active, so that means they are just as active. The Jesuits are just as active to get buddy-buddy with bishops. So they'll get buddy-buddy with bishops, they'll get buddy-buddy with great men of authority who want nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. Doesn't matter. Now, the bishop's authority, great everywhere, is especially so in some kingdoms, as in Germany, Poland, and France. And the Roman Catholic bishops conciliated, they may expect to obtain a gift of, quote, new erected churches, altars, monasteries, foundations, and in some cases the benefices of the secular priests and canons, with the preferable right of preaching in all the great towns. Hmm. Oh, maybe what he meant by seculars was there's secular priests that aren't quite, they're not secular in the way that you would think of secular. They divide that. That's right. They divide the what they call the secular priests, the ones that can't give. Oh, what's the difference? They can't give mass, I think. Either way, what he's saying is no matter how the people are controlled, no matter which powerful authority is in place in a given spot, these instructions help the Jesuits to respond to whatever environment they find themselves for their greatest benefit. Sort of like a recipe for success. And when bishops so befriend them, they are to be taught that there is no less profit than merit in the deed, inasmuch as done to the order of Jesus, they are sure to be repaid with most substantial services. In other words, if these bishops do good things for the Jesuits, well, then those bishops will be promoted and get lots of goodies. Isn't that called a quid pro quo? You do something for me and I'll do something for you. Whereas, done to the order to the other orders, that is the Dominicans, the Franciscans, Benedictines, they will have nothing in return for their pains but a song. So the Jesuits are basically saying, look, if you help us, you might want to help the Dominicans, the Benedictines, they're not going to really repay you back. If you help the Jesuits, then they'll give you lots of money on the side, lots of actual tangible material benefits. It's like making a deal with the devil. 24/7 World Radio, watching a prayer.
This is 24/7 World Radio.
This is Eric John Phelps. Please listen to my broadcast, The Eric John Phelps Show, as I preach the true gospel of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, defend the Protestant Reformation that birthed Western civilization, and expose the counter-reformation of the Jesuit order seeking to make the Pope of Rome the universal monarch of the world. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Jack. I invite you to listen to my broadcast on 247worldradio.com. I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Polish-speaking people scattered around the whole world. Furthermore, I defend the Reformation in Poland, Polish Protestants and Baptists, and Polish Reformation Bible. I also expose the Counter-Reformation in my homeland, led by the Jesuits and by the Roman Catholic Institution. Join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 247worldradio.com. Tu brat Jacek, zapraszam Was do wysłuchania mojej audycji na 247worldradio.com. Głoszę Ewangelię Pana Jezusa Chrystusa ludziom mówiącym po polsku rozproszonym po całym świecie. Ponadto bronię reformacji w Polsce, polskich protestantów i baptystów oraz polskiej Biblii Reformacyjnej. Demaskuję również kontrreformację w mojej ojczyźnie kierowaną przez jezuitów i przez rzymskokatolicką instytucję. Dołącz do mnie w każdy czwartek o godzinie 17 czasu wschodnioamerykańskiego na 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Nicholas. Join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the German Bible Truth Hour, and at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dutch Bible Truth Hour on 24/7 World Radio. This is Bruder Nicholas. Ich lade euch herzlich ein, mich anzuhören jeder Dienstag um 2 Uhr nachmittags, amerikanische Zeit, für die deutsche Bibelwahrheitsstunde und 3 Uhr amerikanische Standardzeit für die niederländische Bibelwahrheitsstunde am World Radio 24/7. Dit is broeder Nico. U bent hartelijk uitgenodigd om elke dinsdag om 2 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Duitse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen en 3 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Nederlandse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen op 24/7 World Radio.
This is 24/7 World Radio.
World Radio, Washington to Prayer, and we're back. And let me continue reading this chapter in our book, History of Protestantism, Volume 2, Book 15. This chapter is Chapter 6. I'm trying to find the page here. The Secret Instructions of the Jesuits. It is a book that is supposed to be secret, but evidently it was discovered, and it talks about how it was made known. It really helps them to think through and strategize, you know, forming hospitals, visiting hospitals, finding out the wealth, acquiring wealth, drawing the youth, pushing the older Roman Catholic orders to the side, making friendships with great men, managing princes, you know, directing policies, conducting their embassies and servants and stuff like that. How to get her done the conspiratorial way. So let's continue here. To love their neighbor and speak well of him while they held themselves in lowly estimation was not one of the failings of the Jesuits. Their own virtues they were to proclaim as loudly as they did the faults of their brother monks. Mm-hmm. Their instructions commanded them to, quote, imprint upon the spirits of those princes who love us that our order is more perfect than all other orders, unquote. They are to supplant their rivals by telling monarchs that no wisdom is competent to counsel in the affairs of state but, quote, ours. This is the definition of political correctness. The Jesuits just basically assert themselves as being the ones we ought to listen to, and by virtue of the fact that they want to have their way, like Satan, they declare that everything they say is correct. Politically correct. And the things to the contrary are politically incorrect. So that's that. The whole politically correcting hit the stage in America in, what would you say, like the 90s? Mm-hmm. At least as an open term. But the correct, no wisdom, there is no wisdom. There's no wisdom in wisdom is competent to counsel the affairs of state. No wisdom is competent to counsel, that is to advise in the affairs of state, but, quote, ours. And that if they wish, if the kings or the monarchs wish to make their realms resplendent with knowledge, then the monarchs must surrender the schools to Jesuit teachers. Well, we call it the public school system now. And unfortunately, a lot of private schools, they're not going to get into this stuff. Like this, in other words, this book is not going to be like a textbook for their history of Protestant Reformation class, history of the Counter-Reformation class. They don't teach that sort of thing. You're not even gonna go to the homeschool conventions and really find like gold book after book after book. Like, here's what made America great. It was the fact that there was the Protestant Reformation that happened, and Rome's wrong, and here's why, and here's why the gun ownership is tied to Protestant and Baptist biblical liberty. Like, you're not gonna find that. It's striking. You'll find a lot of good stuff at homeschool conventions and stuff like that. But my one critique is you just don't find the book called The Footprints of the Jesuits, you know, or books exposing Freemasonry. It's just not there. And that's a shame, really. Because then you just really know the alternative. You'll really know the official version of World War One, instead of like the book here that I'd like to read called "Rome and the War: Rome's Influence on World War One." Ah, ha, ha, ha! Now that's something else. So, it's just a pet peeve of mine. So, continuing, they are especially to exhort princes that they, which means the prince, the monarch, the king, the prince, the monarch, owes it as a duty to God to consult them, the Jesuits, in the distribution of honors and emoluments. They're just jealous for control to give honors and emoluments to whoever they want to. Yeah. I'm going to look up the term emolument, because from the context of this sentence, I think it has something to do with a gift or an honor from a government king, you know. Emolument. An emolument is profit, salary, or fees from office or employment, compensation for services. Ah, gotcha. So if a king or a monarch wants to give out an award or compensation and money, then really that king ought to really be asking the Jesuits' opinion, you know, for the sake of control. Further, they are ever to have a list in their possession. Ah, we're back to the list mention. They're further to have a list, the Jesuits are further to have a list in their possession of the names of all persons in authority and power throughout, quote, Christendom. This is basically what they meant by, you know, Europe, basically, the so-called Christian world. In order that they may change or continue them in their several posts as may be expedient. So they have lists right now of all the senators and representatives, all the state representatives and federal, which is really national, which in actuality is really empirical. And they keep track of DC leaders, and they've got the whole org chart laid out. And I'm sure it's very well managed, not just in the United States, but also in other nations and their ambassadors and so on. And of course, institutions like the United Nations and NATO and the European Union and on and on it goes. BRICS and ASEAN, ASEAN, the Asiatic Union, and all these supranational governmental bodies like the UN and the World Health Organization and the IMF. Oh, they've probably got these lists nailed down, and they're updated constantly with the names and the particularities for resources and so on. So this idea, like, oh, rah, rah, I hope Trump gets elected in 2024. Look, it's been predetermined for a long time. Trump is just the actor. They've had it sketched out. And then we're going to have, you know, the fiery, white, rich billionaire. And he's going to do this. And this is going to be his thing. And his narrative is going to go like this. And then we're going to have a contested election. And we're going to demonize all his supporters. And we're going to put in somebody else that we can control. And then they're going to put the country in and make it howl. But they're going to lie to the people. And it's going to constantly grind the right down. And tell everybody how hateful and racist. The individual actors, the Joe Bidens and the Trumps, like the people themselves that fill the office aren't the important part at all. It's the scripted storyline, fairy tale that ultimately gets woven, you know, in a convenient direction to arrive at the conclusion that, you know what, maybe we really ought to have a regional government. Maybe that would be better. Maybe that would be safer. Maybe that would be more gooder than having the United States and Mexico and Canada be separate. Because ultimately, according to the Book of Revelation, you're going to end up having 10 kings that give their power to one king. And so Satan now is at work attempting to build those 10 kings. That's his agenda, getting the world to where we have centralized regional government, which you have with the European Union. I understand England left. Well, maybe they're going to be brought back in somehow. And they need to be taught a lesson. And future posterity needs to be taught a lesson that being separate brings death and suffering children. And so children, we really need to be united as regional governments. Yay, that'll solve our problems. And so that's sort of, it might take a very long time to get there. And the individual actors, you know, might do something crazy off on their own for a little while and have to be wrangled in and so on. They might say something truthful and it'll have to be buried, you know, but this is the managing that goes on. And the managing of the narrative over the course of 50 to 75 to 100 years to get things to go in the... That's how we had World War I and World War II. That's how that got to be that bad. That's how that got that way. That's how they worked and managed and continued to work toward what we call the Civil War. You know, there was 100 different things that could have happened to totally avoid all of that. To totally avoid Normandy, to totally avoid all these things. No, not if we're going to have, you know, Rome tell the story to get to the conclusion that we need to have the United Nations. That we need to have intelligence agencies to protect us from the growing threat of the Cold War. Ha ha ha. And so on. So it's multiple crisis reaction solution. It's multi-dimensional puzzles that weave together. And the individual head of the United Nations at any given point isn't really the central thing. It's just that he's the actor that'll fill the scripted role. Like Gavin Newsom, or that sinner in charge of Canada, you know. It's the script is written, and then the actors are just fit into their role, much like World Wrestling Federation or screenwriting for Hollywood. You know, you don't have to have the name of the actor before you start writing the script. You start with the script, and then as you go, you find the actors that'll fit and that are willing and that you can control. Blackmail helps. That's how it works. Further, they are ever to have a list in their possession of the names and all persons in authority and power throughout Christendom in order that they may change or continue them in their several posts as may be expedient. But so covertly must this delicate business be gone about, that their hand must not be seen in it. Ah, the unseen hand. Nor must it once be suspected that the change comes from them. Interestingly, the man who wrote the book, The Unseen Hand, I heard an interview, and he didn't really have anything to say about the Jesuits, but he had a lot to say about Freemasonry. But suspiciously, he didn't have much to say about the Jesuits. He's like, yeah, I don't know about that. But these Masons, and it's like, well, they wrote the higher degrees of Freemasonry. Like, what do you mean you don't know who Jesuits are? So they want to have their hand not be seen. That sounds like conspiracy to me. While slowly and steadily, one more paragraph, we're almost done. While slowly and steadily climbing up to the control of kings and the government of kingdoms, what does it say in Revelation 17? They are to study great modesty and demeanor and simplicity of life. The pride must be worn in the heart, not on the brow. And the foot must be set down softly, that is, to be planted at last on the neck of monarchs. Let ours that are in the service of princes, say the instructions, keep but very little money and a few movables, contenting themselves with a little chamber, modestly keeping company with persons in humble station, and so, being in good esteem, they ought prudently to persuade princes to do nothing without their counsel, whether it be in spiritual or temporal affairs. Well, well, well. End of chapter 6. Secret Instructions of Israel. Chapter 15, History of Protestantism. Lord bless. Thank you for tuning in.
You're listening to Your Source for the